Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. You picked a great day to join us because we got some very practical help today, some encouragement, and maybe some fresh insights, just reminders of things that we have probably known all along, but just need to hear them again. And excited to bring in today's guest because we're going to talk about get healthy for heaven's sake and go through at least seven steps for living strong, loving God, and serving others. And looking forward to getting Lisa Marone on the show with us today. You're here regularly on the morning show in Austin, and so we're just excited to have her on with us today. I thought maybe, Ted, before we start, we should talk about drinking your morning cup of coffee, because I'm sure, you know, before Lisa says, you know, you could probably skip that. But
yeah,
we have our spotlight this month, ministry spotlight, is with Hope Coffee. It's a great ministry that actually uses the proceeds from the coffee that they manufacture or process in Honduras. It goes back to Honduras through a mission organization called Hope Coffee. And they build homes and dig wells and sponsor churches. And it's just really a great resource. And we get information on our website at myfaithradio.com.
Great way to participate in missions while waking up in the morning, perhaps.
Okay. All right. So should we... neither of us are coffee drinkers.
No, tea, so, but not that.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we can check that off the list. This isn't going to be one of those hours, I don't think, where you're just going to feel bad, you know, for the whole hour.
I hope not. For my sake.
Maybe just part of it. Yeah. We're not going to look at each other the entire conversation as we talk with Lisa Marone, physical therapist, speaker, and adjunct professor for doctoral programs in physical therapy. And she's authored several books, including Sleep Well Again, Overcoming Back and Neck Pain, Diabetes, and her most recent, Get Healthy for Heaven's Sake. And you heard Lisa, as we mentioned, regularly on the morning show. She does a lot of media, radio, TV, and blogging. You can find out more about her writing and her work at lisamarone.com, MORRONE.com. Lisa, welcome to back to Faith Radio. We're glad to have you on with us here on Connecting Faith.
Hey, it's a great day to learn how to get healthy for heaven's sake, isn't it?
That's true. And, you know, Ted and I were just talking before the program that, you know, these are probably all things that we know. It's just a matter of maybe putting them into practice. So we'll let you give us some encouragement on how we can do that. But I'm thinking maybe, you know, before we start, I mean, say a bit about your perhaps personal interest in, you know, getting into taking care of your body and eating right and all those kinds of things, because it was personal for you, wasn't it?
It absolutely was. I was a young girl at 10 years old, and I watched my Aunt Catherine die of breast cancer. And the hour that she passed away, her husband, my uncle, grabbed me with tears running down his face, and he said, "Lisa, I want you to promise me that you'll always keep yourself healthy and that you'll take very good care of your body." And I was very surprised when he said that, because watching my aunt suffer with cancer, I just figured sickness and disease was just something that happened to people. I didn't realize that we actually had a choice in the matter, that there were things that we could do that could potentially improve our health or could potentially create disease for us. And so at 10 years old, I was faced with that very interesting choice in life.
This is an area where all of us obviously need to learn. I mean, despite all the education and all the advancements and opportunities to be physically fit, that as a nation, we're not particularly fit, are we?
We're not. And, you know, it's really interesting, Neil. They've done studies and they have compared Christians versus non-Christians. And they found that overall Christians are more overweight than non-Christian counterparts. And, of course, within the sects of different Christianity, Baptists are the most overweight of us all.
Okay. Well, all right. So now we got some work to do. So we're going to talk about that. But, you know, before we get into maybe just lots of health tips, and we'll have those. And, by the way, I want to encourage you, if you have a question, want to get some advice. You know, not always time to join in the conversation in the morning. But if you've heard Lisa on regularly and you just maybe have a question, a comment, a concern, we'd love to have you join in the show. And you can do that with a phone call at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. Now, in the book, Get Healthy for Heaven's Sake, you talk about getting the right spiritual and emotional mindset first. Let's talk about that. Why is that so critical?
Yeah, you know, I feel like it's very important, Neil, that we understand what Paul was talking about when he says that our physical bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes in the church we tend to spiritualize that, and we know that the Holy Spirit lives in us, but we don't actually take the physical body part and think of it as, well, how do I take care of that structure? You know, in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul is saying, you know, about our body as a temple, he's saying you're not your own, and you were bought with a price, and therefore we're supposed to honor God with our temples. And so what does that actually mean? I believe that it means that we need to pursue better health, stronger wellness, so that we're better able to serve him for all of the time that he has called us to serve him.
When we talk about getting healthy, it seems like weight loss seems to be maybe the first place to start. Is that, you know, the right approach? Or, you know, is there, if we're saying, you know, I've seen the, you know, the specials on TV, or, you know, all the ads, or I've, you know, I got a gym membership once. where do we really get started? I mean, having the right mindset, but is there a first step to take?
You know, Neil, I think I'm going to shock you. It's not weight loss initially. It's actually sleep. And the amount of sleep that we get. There's Dr. William Dement, who is the co-founder of Stanford's Sleep Center, has said that there's plenty of compelling evidence out there that sleep is the number one predictor of how long we'll live. And so the more we learn about sleep and the lack of sleep, the sleep deprivation that we have as a nation, 74% of us being underslept, that is the beginning of the downfall of our health.
Well, expand a little bit more on that. What does that mean by, you know, sleep deprivation? I mean, some people just need less sleep, right? What do we need?
You know, that is a common misconception, is that some people need less sleep. Study after study has shown that we need 7 to 8 hours sleep a night as adults, 20 and over. And that's really important, because some people can get by with less sleep and maybe some more coffee, but that doesn't mean that they're tricking their body. Sleep debt is cumulative, just like fiscal debt, financial debt is. And so over the years, we start accumulating disease and disabilities within our bodies because we're not well slept. One of the things that's very interesting is just one night of 5 hours sleep as opposed to 7 hours sleep, we can see marked changes in the immune system's health with just one night of 5 hours sleep. So if we add that up day after day and week after week, year after year, and we're chronically underslept, we're starting to build a whole lot of imbalances in our body in terms of our hormones and our chemicals. We're also accelerating our aging process. And believe it or not, going back to your initial thought with weight loss, when we are underslept, we actually unbalance our hungry hormones and our satisfied hormones. And so we have our hormones working against us, and we actually gain more weight because we're underslept.
So even if we're eating less or not, we're not overeating, it's the metabolism. I mean, it's not working right, right? So we're not getting the full benefit like we should.
Absolutely. Being underslept is going to inhibit your body's ability to control its blood sugar, is one of the things that we have issue with. Everybody's talking about diabetes and prediabetes. And so part of the underslept person is this inability to control and regulate their own blood sugar.
And as you said, the immune system gets affected, so we're susceptible to much more of disease, I suppose, or just the, you know, kind of colds and flu and all those kind of bugs.
Yeah, you know, some people we see that are getting sick over and over again with sicknesses such as colds and bronchitis and that sort of thing. But there's other people who aren't underslept who will develop cancer. And that's something that doesn't happen after 1 week of bad sleep, but it could happen after 5, 7, 10 years of bad sleep.
Interesting. Lisa Marone, a guest today, physical therapist, and she's a speaker, an author, adjunct professor, and is joining us today. We're talking about getting healthy for heaven's sake. Get Healthy for Heaven's Sake is the title of her book. It's from Harvest House. It's her latest. She's written several others as well, including one on overcoming overeating. It's not what you eat. It's what's eating you. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But let's take Sherry's call first. She just checked in from Cottage Grove and has a question that I think all of us would like an answer to. Sherry, go ahead. You're on with Lisa Marone.
Lisa, how are you? I'm so happy to hear your voice. I do have one of your books, and I plan on getting them all. But
wonderful.
I have a question. I'm a senior, and I really basically take good care of myself. The only problem I have a struggle with is I have a tendency, I crave sweets, and I would like to be able to curb that. I don't know if I'm lacking more protein in my body, or why? That's the one thing I'm trying to get rid of. I just can't. Well, I grew up with sweets, and so, yeah, I'm having a hard time shaking.
Yeah, I'm sure, Sherry. I bet you're the only one who's ever dealt with that. I'm anxious to hear the answer, because, boy, that the runs in my family. Lisa, what do you say to Sherry and all the rest of us who crave sweets?
Yes, Sherry, a lot of our upbringings have put us in that category. I grew up, you know, eating ice cream and cupcakes and sugared soda because my family was not a very health-trending family. But one thing that's important is we do need to train our taste buds to appreciate things that are less sweet. And so when we eat things that are room temperature, we will taste them as a certain amount of sweet. If they're cold, like ice cream, we don't taste as sweet as much. And so sometimes just warming things up actually brings out a sweet flavor of something that might not have too much sweetness in it. But if you do cook for yourself and you bake for yourself, you can always begin to have the sugar ingredients in items. Also, if you're using artificial sweeteners, that can actually work against your you controlling your sweet habit because they are so powerfully sweet, these sweet sweetener substitutes, that we can get that extra craving for sweets. The last thing I would say is that our hunger mechanisms are most satisfied when we have something that takes a little longer to digest in our system, such as a protein. So if you are going to eat something sweet and say you convinced yourself that, you know what, I'm going to have sweet strawberries rather than a piece of cake, if you just have sweet strawberries, your blood sugar is going to spike very similarly to that piece of cake. But if you have sweet strawberries and maybe you put a little bit of homemade whipped cream with that, or you have a piece of cheese or a few nuts, that's going to actually slow that blood sugar spike in your body. And so when you retrain your sweet tooth, don't forget to add some protein with it so that you stay satisfied.
So should you, is it a matter of sort of the sequence? I mean, if you ate something, a protein first before having the sweet? I mean, you know, we have our dessert first because life is uncertain, but no.
you could have dessert first. Yes, you know what? It's very important that we realize that it's not necessarily the sequence because it takes a while for our stomach to digest. It's just that how do we pair and partner foods in our stomach so that digestion is slowed? For example, why we love to eat white bread is because white bread, when it's in our mouth, is already turning back into the sugar molecules that it is. And so when we eat white bread or crackers, that's going to spike our blood sugar. But if we were to take that same piece of Italian bread, say, and you dip it in olive oil, which is a healthy fat, that's going to slow our body's breakdown of that. And we're going to, rather than have a sharp spike in our blood sugar, we'll have a nice sloping peak. And so a lot of times there's things that are counterintuitive. I wrote about those in my Overcoming Overeating book and my Diabetes Are You at Risk books because it's really important to understand how to pair and partner food.
We'll talk more with Lisa Marone in a moment. We'll take a quick break and come back. Happy to take your questions as well or concerns. We're talking Get healthy, for heaven's sake. Seven steps to living strong, loving God, serving others, and hopefully we'll get through at least seven. And there may be a particular question that you have. I'd love to have you join the conversation with a phone call at 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. Or if you want to just drop us a note, you can go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link right there, and you can send us a note that way, and we'll make sure that we answer your questions. More with Lisa Marone, physical therapist, a speaker, and adjunct professor, and author, coming up in just a moment. Past the hour, talking about getting healthy, for heaven's sake. Lisa Marone is a physical therapist. She lives in practices in New York State, where she lives with her husband and two children. She speaks regularly. She's on Austin Hill in the morning every other week, and we're fortunate enough to get her to come on for a little extended time here with us over the noon hour. And so it's your opportunity, maybe if you listen regularly to Lisa when she's on with Austin in the morning, you think of questions or comments, you're welcome to join us at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Lisa's written several books, including Overcoming Overeating. It's Not What You Eat, It's What's Eating You. Her latest, Get Healthy for Heaven's Sake. One of our callers, Susan, had called in and said, you know, appreciate what you're saying about getting enough sleep and preventative measures, but he said it's easy to fall into a shaming cycle. Sometimes we do all we can and still get sick, live in a world that's polluted by sin, and, you know, always going to struggle in this life, never be perfectly healthy. Maybe just say a word about that, because, you know, we don't want this to be a program that's shaming people, but, I mean, that is a reality, right? We live in a fallen world.
You know, I'm glad Susan brought that up, because what I say in my books and what I say when I speak is that everything that we do, we are trying to gain for ourselves as much as it depends upon us to stay healthy. Now, there are very many people who have a great pursuit of health, and they still will come down with cancer or some other disease. Does that mean that we all should not try to be healthy because something might just happen to us? Well, you know, research shows us over and over again, most of what happens to us disease-wise has to do with lifestyle issues, with not enough sleep, with carrying too much weight, with not exercising. Those are kind of the three biggies. And so when God has called us, you know, Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship. He's created us in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So before we were even born, God said, Lisa, I have certain tasks for you to do, and I'm going to give you this temple, this body, and I need you to use that body in order to do those tasks and those good works. And if I said, well, I see all your good works, but you know what? It's just too much effort. It's too much trouble. I can't really be bothered. So I'll just do whatever work I can do with my broken down body. You know, that is shortchanging heaven on earth, I believe.
We start with sleep. Get the right amount of sleep. Don't be sleep deprived. We've been talking about, Sherry had asked about sweets. So maybe let's talk about, I know you address some, I think you call them power foods, right? And maybe people think, well, that just means supplements. What are we talking about eating the right kind of food?
Yeah, you know, it's really important that not only do we lose weight, but that we are nutritionally sound, because we have a country where we are so overweight, you think we'd have lots of nutrition in our bodies stored up as fat, but what we're doing is we're eating empty calories. And what I mean by that is there are calories that are like putting paper on a campfire. They just burn up really quick. They have no value to us. And so there are certain power foods that have a lot of value. The first thing I tell people to do is, you know, take a look at your dinner plate. How colorful is it? Your lunch plate, your breakfast plate. Because God created us with color vision. And so it's really, it's very useful in identifying what things might have a lot of power in them in terms of food. So when we talk about power foods, one of the things is antioxidant-containing foods. Antioxidants are found in brightly colored foods like sweet potatoes and oranges and beets and anything that has a bright, deep color to it. These antioxidant foods are going to work against us aging, and they're going to help protect us from diseases. and they're going to just restore health that breaks down every day just as a course of regular everyday living.
Good reminders, make it a colorful plate, bright colors, and I suppose we could always eat less, too. There is that, right?
There's that, absolutely. But, you know, just even with eating vegetables, oftentimes we don't have enough vegetables in our diet. And so there was a study done by Chicago Rush Institute, and they found that if you just ate 3 vegetables a day, people had a 40% decline in their dementia production as they got older. So eating healthy, eating more vegetables, those are power foods. The other power foods, we need to eat complex carbohydrates. Complex carbohydrates are in whole grain breads and pastas. They're in beans. I don't mean green beans. I mean legumes like black beans and pink beans and garbanzo beans. Those things they're low in fat. They're high in fiber, and they're filled with great carbohydrates, which our bodies need as the building blocks for health.
I want to get back to we're talking about sweets and sugars and stuff and fruit. If we're eating, grapes, which are, pretty sweet, does the body recognize the different kind of sugar? Is it all just sugar to the body, or if instead of having regular sugar, we're having honey? I mean, does it all break down the same?
Yes, Neil, it does all break down the same. And so that's why it's so important that we pair and partner foods. There are certain fruits that are sweet, like an apple, which contain a lot of fiber in them. And so that does not spike our blood sugar, or an orange that has a lot of fiber in it. But if you eat something like strawberries or grapes or bananas that don't have a lot of fiber, the body is going to take that, and it will be like paper on a campfire, and it will just burn it up so fast into sugar. Our blood sugar spikes. Our body throws all this insulin at it, and what the insulin does is it takes it and it stores it away as fat. And so it's really important that even if we're going to eat certain fruits and vegetables, that we have them along with a protein, a healthy fat, or a carbohydrate, something that's going to slow its digestion down.
Let's take Lindsay's call. We got a break coming up, but we can at least get Lindsay's question in, and then we'll catch it on the other side of the break. Lindsay, you're on with Lisa Marone. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering, growing up I had bladder issues, so I would wet the bed. And so after a while, growing out of that and everything, I still have to get up every single night in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom. And I didn't know if part of that, could be due to food, or if there's food that can maybe help, because I can't sleep at all if there's any liquid in my bladder.
Lindsay, that's a great question. In my book, Sleep Well Again, I have a whole chapter on when sleep is disturbed because of bladder issues. And part of it, Lindsay, is training. Throughout the day, sometimes people void their urine far too frequently. Almost every time they pass the bathroom, they're like, oh, while I'm here, let me go. And you should be urinating for a good, 8-second to 10-second stream. That's when your bladder is full. And so sometimes it's training, and we don't let our bladders get full enough during the day.
We'll pick it up after the break here. So if you can hold, please. That's the joke at the urology department, right? So, I'm sorry. 877-93-FAITH. Lisa Marone is joining us. We're back in a moment. I hope that you do. A lot of us, though, deal with we're overweight, we're slouched, we're deconditioned, and we're very tired. That's the reality. So we want to get healthy, not just for us, but so that we can live strong, we can love God, we can serve others. Get Healthy for Heaven's Sake is the book that we're referencing from Lisa Marone, who is a physical therapist, a speaker, an author, adjunct professor for doctoral programs in physical therapy. She practices in New York State. She, by the way, will be coming to our area in January, January 16th, for Inspire 2016. It's a Christ-centered health conference in Des Moines, Iowa. So if you're in the Des Moines area, January 16th, and you can find out more at Lisa's website. Go to lisamarone.com. We'll also put a link up here on our show page as well. Lisa, we're talking with Lindsay, who has getting up every night, and there are many
of us in that same situation. So how can we kind of train ourselves to do better?
Yeah, first we had talked about just holding your bladder a little longer during the day and retraining your bladder to function at a fuller level. The other thing to just be careful of is, when is the last time you're drinking a caffeinated beverage? Because caffeine acts as a diuretic, which means it makes you need to urinate. And so if you would withhold caffeine from your body to about 3 hours before bedtime, that's going to also help your bladder not to feel like it needs to void in the middle of the night.
Well, you're talking about retraining. Let's talk about some physical fitness training, because obviously we know our muscles have memory, and some of us, the memory's kind of fading. So what are your advice for kind of getting back into some sort of physical shape if we're not in very good shape?
Well, again, we have to look back to Scripture and say, okay, so God is telling us that our bodies belong to Him, and we have ownership of these bodies. They're kind of on loan to us. He's actually going to use these bodies to do His work. And so when we want to be strong, you know, in Romans it says that we're supposed to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. And then Paul finishes that sentence up by saying, this is your spiritual act of worship. And so I don't know how many of you think of going to the gym or out for a walk as a spiritual act of worship, but it absolutely is. And so it's really important that we kind of change our mindset, because a lot of times we just start to off on an exercise program. You know, you join a gym or you start a routine, but you just fade out. And you often fade out because you're depending upon your own willpower and you're depending upon a temporal reason. You know, maybe I just want to lose weight. I want to look a little better. But we're so finicky as adults. So, you know, what is really important to us one day isn't the next. But if we can get our mindset to say, you know what, the strength and the flexibility in my body that helps me to serve Christ, when I pursue that, I am worshiping God. So the times when I drag my behind off to the gym and I don't want to be there, I remind myself, this is your act of worship today.
Whenever we get serious about that, at least at my age, seems like injury always creeps in pretty quickly if I'm trying to do some sort of strength training. What's your recommendation there?
It's really another aspect of strength training, the one that we skip over oftentimes, is that we are not strong in the deepest core muscles, and we go off to the gym to lift weights that strengthen what I like to call our mirror muscles, the ones that we can see in the mirror. But it's the underlying muscles, the ones that don't get all of the glory and fame, the deep abdominal muscles or the deep muscles in the front of our throat, that really need to be retrained in order to be safe at the gym.
So say more. What would that look like if we're going to the gym, or even if we're not going to the gym, but something? Does that mean sit-ups? What kinds of things should we be thinking about?
Yeah, sit-ups are actually not working the core muscles, although they can work on top of the core muscles. Those are your mirror muscles, so when you do lots of sit-ups, you might get a six-pack if you're lucky. But the core muscles are the deepest muscles. So in your abdomen, if you were to place your hands on the front of your pelvic bones, those pointy bones that you can feel jutting out the front, and then move your fingers in about 2 inches or so, that would be over the area of your deep core muscles in your abdomen. And what I ask patients to do is simply just tighten their lower stomach up just a little bit, where they're drawing their belly button in towards their spine without moving their pelvis at all, without moving their ribs at all. It's a very small, subtle motion, but it's something that has to be retrained. If you've had any back pain or you've been deconditioned, you likely don't have a good core on. And so a lot of the injuries that I see with my patients happen because they've been training on a very poor foundation.
And so it's just a simple little routine like that. Is that enough to actually make an impact, make a difference?
It actually is, because when that muscle in your abdomen comes on, is contracted, it contracts in trio with two other muscles. One is the whole pelvic floor group, and the other are very deep muscles in your back called your multifidus muscles. So when you contract your deep abdominal muscles, it's called your transverse abdominis muscle, your pelvic floor tightens up, your protective muscles in your low back region tighten up, and you, as if you have stepped into a muscular girdle, if you would. in preparation for all of your exercises. I kind of go through a step-by-step process with pictures in my Get Healthy for Heaven's Sake book and also in my Overcoming Back and Neck Pain book on how you would achieve this abdominal core, how you would train yourself.
Because I imagine most of us, the absolute worst thing that we can do is be sitting at a desk all day, right, and sort of slouching, right? We're
exacerbating. Absolutely, and then we go get up and play softball on the weekend with our church, you know, just go dig a ditch in our backyard and try to plant a tree and move some bushes. So,
and then we go to
on our sedentary bodies.
Yeah, we go to urgent care then after that, too, I think is right.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about posture. I mean, just sitting up straight, is that going to make a difference for us? And how is that going to maybe help us in our overall health?
Our overall health requires that our posture is such that our building blocks, if you would, of our feet, our pelvis, our shoulders, and our head are lined up. You know, when you're young or if you play with your children and you're lining up a block tower, that block tower comes tumbling down if the blocks are not aligned one directly on top of each other, because gravity always wins. And so when you see older people and they're hunched over, they didn't just one day get up and then stoop forward. Gravity has been winning over poorly aligned blocks. And so I have, with pictures and directions in a few of my books, I have the foot block feet need to be right underneath your hips. Oftentimes we stand with our feet in a widespread, like we're ready to steal a base in baseball, or we have our feet closed right squeezed together, and that weakens our hip muscles on the outside. And so we need our feet lined right up under our pelvis. And then we need our pelvis lined up over our ankles, because if our pelvis is shifted forward, we're going to feel a lot of weight over the ball of our feet, and we're going to be doing damage to the joints in our low back. And if our pelvis is shifted back towards our heels and we kind of have a tucked pelvis like a scared puppy would, then we're going to end up bulging or herniating the discs in our low back. And so how we stand and how we sit is going to affect the health of our joints and our discs.
Well, speaking of damaging discs, I mean, that is, we do face wear and tear as we get older, but what do you recommend in terms of really protecting those vital components, whether it's, you know, our bones or discs, muscles, those things that can, if they get damaged, we're really oftentimes debilitated?
You can be debilitated, but I always tell my patients, listen, our bodies were created in such a miraculous way, marvelous way, that when one thing goes, we oftentimes can still be pain-free. There's 50% of our population has herniated discs in their low back, and they have absolutely no pain. And so it's not always because of this herniated disc that you have pain. It's oftentimes a whole lot of other problems, tight muscles, weak muscles, posture, bad sleeping habits, all of those things that go into creating pain for us. But as for protecting ourselves from disc injury in our low backs, we need to, you know, you said that we sit most of the time. We need to get up from sitting. We need to actually reverse that. We need to lay on our stomachs on the floor, and we need to do some what's called press-ups, where your pelvis stays on the floor and you arch your back in the opposite direction. It's really important that we counteract all of that sitting. We could stand up, place our hands on our hips, and start to bend ourselves backwards, and just limit the time that we spend bent over things.
And, you know, we've heard all the various reports about, you know, just being active, just doing something is good. Is walking the, you know, sort of pound for pound, or, you know, the best use of time in terms of the benefits of the physical activity? What's the best thing we can do?
I think with physical activity, what's been proven is that 150 minutes per week is what we would need in terms of an exercise regime that's going to have an impact on our physical health. And so that's maybe five times a week for a half an hour. Now, if you don't have 5 days a week, what the research has also shown is it doesn't really matter how you do that, those 150 minutes. You could do 100 at one time, and you could break up the other ones over the rest of the week. We just need to move to the point where our heart rate increases enough that we're a little bit breathless while we're doing this exercise. So whether it's walking, it's raking your leaves, it's food shopping at a double time speed. It's cleaning your house quickly. It's jumping around and dancing to praise music. It really doesn't matter what it is. Do something you like, something that brings a smile to your face, or something, if you don't like exercise at all, it is least tolerable to you.
And again, just to be at the point where we're a little bit breathless, right? That's the level we want to get to.
Yes. If you were having a conversation with someone, you would not be able to speak as naturally and as smoothly as you're speaking when you're not exercising.
Okay.
There'd be a little huffing and puffing there.
All right. Question from, this is Judy in Richfield asks, can you comment on essential fatty acids such as fish oil? And what would be the best brand you'd recommend?
Essential fatty acids such as omega-3s are very important because every cell in your body has a membrane or an outside wall, if you would, and it is one of its components is fatty acid. And when we don't have enough, our cell walls can break down and invaders such as disease and any kind of disease or virus can get in. And so we need to keep those walls up. Omega-3 fatty acids are also very important in brain health because every brain cell, the tail end of the brain cell is wrapped in this fatty acid insulation. And so it's a really critical component. And where we can get that in our diet is by eating cold water fish, fish that swim in cold waters like salmon. We can get those from walnuts. We can get it from flaxseed and flaxseed oil. We can get it from olive oil. So there's a number of things that can give us these omega-3 fatty acids, which are so needful for our body's protection.
You said getting it in our diet. You know, many people rely on supplements. Did you have an opinion on supplements? Are there some that you recommend taking or some that you don't?
You know, supplements, I don't have a particular brand in mind, but I do know that a lot of the fish oil pills are very large and people find them very difficult to swallow. There is a brand on the market that is called Mega Red, and the pills are red because they come from a krill oil. Rather than a fish oil, krill are like tiny little shrimp, and that colors the oil red. And those are very small, and so they're much easier to swallow, and many of my patients report that there's much less any aftertaste. Sometimes the very large pills will kind of give you a fishy burp now and then.
Sure. But for multivitamins or supplements in general, do you recommend them?
You know, the research is out on whether supplements actually help prevent or disease or improve longevity. They've actually, the recent study said no, they didn't. Now, do I take them? I do. I kind of take them as insurance because I really, really want to get all of my nourishment, my nutrition, my nutritional value out of food because food, the way that God created it again, it has fiber with vitamins. It has the whole picture. But just in case, as insurance, I will take a multivitamin and a few other antioxidant supplements.
Lisa Marone's with us today. She's a physical therapist, a professor, author, and speaker, encouraging us to get healthy for heaven's sake. That's the title of her latest book. She's written a number of others, including Overcoming Overeating, written Diabetes. There's Overcoming Back and Neck Pain. You can find out more about her writing at her website, lisamarone.com. We'll also put a link up on our website. And we'll continue the conversation in just a moment. If you have a question, we're talking health, fitness, diet, all those kinds of things. And we've got some time left for your calls at 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH. More with Lisa Marone in a moment. Lisa Marone is with us today, physical therapist, professor, author, and speaker, encouraging us to get healthy for heaven's sake. That's the title of her latest book, Seven Steps to Living Strong, Loving God, Serving Others. And Lisa, maybe just say a word about, you know, how does, I think we can figure out that getting healthy is going to help us live strong, but how does getting healthy help us love God and serve others?
before we were even born, Scripture tells us that God has seen all of our days, and he's called us to certain ministries, and he has all of our works planned for us. And so he has a perfect will for our lives, which requires that as far as we can, we maintain our bodies. And so it's really very critical that we present him with a working vehicle that he can utilize for his glory here on earth.
Often, you know, we've had some sort of maybe, you know, injury or damage or something. As I mentioned, you know, going to the gym, we end up doing something, and so then we have a setback. So how do we maybe regain strength without having injury setbacks? Or if we've already had an injury, what's the best way to kind of start getting back on our feet?
If you've been exercising and you have an injury that hasn't been healing itself with rest, it is really important that a doctor, a physical therapist, are taking a look at you and helping you in your healing, because oftentimes you need an educated approach to what the cause of this problem was. For instance, I often have patients who come in with knee pain, and what's actually wrong with them is, yes, their knee hurts, but their hip muscle is very weak and their foot and ankle joints don't work well. And so many times I have to correct their hip and their foot and ankle in order for their knee to feel better. And so it's really important, if you have an injury that's not healing with just rest, that you have someone else take a look-see at it.
You work with clients, physical therapists. There, I guess there are many around, but probably most are within sort of clinic situations. Do you recommend that we kind of get to know a physical therapist?
You know, in my on my website, lisamarone.com, under free resources, I have a small article that I wrote entitled Finding a Good Physical Therapist. Because in today's insurance-driven environment, physical therapy has now become sort of like a quick in-and-out thing where patients maybe have the attention of a physical therapist for 10 minutes or so. But there are some clinics that really do great hands-on work, and so And their appointment structures are such that you're with a therapist for a half an hour or 45 minutes. And so I've just put together that article so that people can figure out where is their best place for treatment for themselves. You're going to spend your time and money there, so you should interview these places and these physical therapists before you actually start under their care.
Now, you've been doing this for a long time, Lisa. Are there areas of new research and strategies that have maybe changed the way you do your work, or maybe it's something that's been most helpful for us in terms of getting healthy and staying healthy?
Well, I have been treating patients for 26 years now and counting. And I have to say, Neil, the things that I began doing 26 years ago, certainly I've gotten better at them, but they really haven't changed. Posture is still the kingpin of all things, that our posture is supposed to be good while we're sleeping, while we're sitting, and while we're standing. And so I address those three in my Get Healthy book and in my Overcoming Back and Neck Pain book, because they're so very critical. Strength and flexibility is really important. Strength from the inside out, from the core muscles to the mirror muscles, in that order. And there's certain key muscles that I've written about in the chapter 10-Minute Muscle Makeover. There's certain key muscles that always get tight in our bodies that can start to create a lot of pain for us. And so they're usually muscles that are volunteering for a weak muscle that become very tight. And so it's really important that we maintain our flexibility. But what I have found, Neil, over the years, since I've been doing more and more research, is I started to realize how important it is that my patients are well-slept, well-fed, and that they're doing something to start to bring their weight, their body mass, into a normal range, because those things are going to work against all of the good things that I'm doing for my patients if they're not kind of meeting me halfway in those respects.
In your book, Overcoming Overeating, the subtitle is it's not what you eat, it's what's eating you. Just say more about that. I mean, that really is such a big part of our issue with food, isn't it?
It is, Neil. When I sat down to write that book, it was out of frustration with every January a new diet book would come out on the marketplace, and it would tell people this, you know, tried and true way to lose weight. And what I found was that everybody can lose weight on a diet, but not everyone can keep that weight off. In fact, most people don't. And so what I saw as the key issue was not what necessarily we're eating. Everybody can follow steps in a diet, but it's why are we eating? There is some reason that is spiritual or emotional that we are trying to mask or shove down with food. We're actually medicating ourselves with food because food, certain foods, comfort foods, they go to the brain and they produce chemicals that are actually, believe it or not, very similar to cannabis, to marijuana. They're these kind of feel-good chemicals that are floating around in our brain. And so that book, Overcoming Overeating, It's Not What You Eat, It's What's Eating You, has people take a look, very detailed look at their lives and say, what is it, past, present, or future projections that have me in a position where I'm using food for my comfort, I'm using food to medicate myself? Because once you heal from those things, and I teach you how to do that, once you identify and heal from those things, any diet plan will work for you, and you'll be able to keep the weight off instead of just yo-yoing up and down with the latest fad diet.
You know, here in the upper Midwest, of course, the seasons are changing, and we feel like we need to put on that extra layer of fat just to survive the winter cold. Any recommendations on how we, you know, if we're not really outdoor active people in the winter, you know, it can be kind of a long, depressing time.
It is. It absolutely is. You know, rather than putting on layers of fat, just put on more clothing. But if you're inside, find something to do inside that's active. You know, get yourself a gym ball, a therapeutic ball, and sit on it. If you have bad knees, if you have a bad back, sit on that ball, turn on some fun music, and bounce up and down and start your arms pumping and do something where even though you're shut in because it's cold and wintry, you're actually moving. When my kids were little, at 5 o'clock, when everybody would get antsy and it would get dark at night in the winter, I would turn on some fun, upbeat Christian music, and we'd have a dance party in the kitchen. And we'd do that for a half an hour. And we'd all be, you know, sweaty and breathless when we were done. But that did so much good for not only our physical bodies, but for our minds as well.
And, you know, lack of sunlight, is like vitamin D or E, are those important at this time of year as well?
Vitamin D would be because of lack of sunlight, and that is something absolutely that if your blood tests low in vitamin D, that you need to be taking a supplement because that is really important. Vitamin D can affect you in funny ways. It can create joint inflammation. It can create depression. There's all sorts of things that they're finding relating to low vitamin D. So, yeah, in all those months where it's dark, if your blood tests low in vitamin D, that would be something I would definitely take supplements for.
Well, I got just about 90 seconds left. I know that you're on with Austin, Austin Hill in the Morning, every other week. And a lot of that is based on just what you're writing regularly on your blog, right?
Yeah, people can go to my website, lisamarone.com. You can put in your email address, and every Monday morning, a health tip will pop up. And it's something that's very doable. It might not be something that you've ever thought about, but there are things that you can just incorporate into your daily life. And so when I'm on with Austin, we choose one of the last 2 weeks, and we go with that.
So check it out. Listen with Lisa in the mornings, right after 7 o'clock each weekday morning with Austin every other Monday. And you can go to her website and sign up for that Monday morning email, lisamarone.com. And then for those that might be in the Des Moines, the Iowa area, she'll be one of the featured speakers at Inspire 2016, Christ-Centered Health Conference in Des Moines, January 16 of 2016. And, you know, get information on your website on that as well. Lisa, always good to connect with you. Really appreciate what you're offering and helping us every other week in the morning show and joining us today.
Neil, thank you for the opportunity to help people get healthy for heaven's sake.
Get Healthy for Heaven's Sake, that's the title of Lisa's book, and it really is a ministry as well. And if you're ready to maybe just trim down a little bit, start sleeping better, get over some chronic pain perhaps and fatigue, then let me just recommend that to you. Go to lisamarone.com for details. If you missed part of today's show, you can always listen to it again. We post the interviews online. And better yet, you can always pass it on to a friend. Be a little radio missionary, somebody you know that could really use it and appreciate it. So go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page for the podcast archives. And thanks for listening.